Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Tracy Q from San Diego.
Good evening. My name is Tracy. I'm an alcoholic. I do believe that it's a miracle that I'm here tonight. Because when I first got here, it was really easy for me to be in denial about my disease. I didn't have people telling me I needed help. I didn't have a husband telling me, you know, you need to go get help for drinking. I didn't have a lot of the outside consequences that I heard shared in meetings. I didn't have legal consequences. And I do believe today that if I would have continued drinking, I would have had all those things. So I feel extremely grateful to have found the program and been willing to do what's necessary to stay sober. At the end of my drinking, I was drinking once every 2 weeks. You know, I didn't see that, how an alcoholic could drink once every 2 or 3 weeks. My definition of an alcoholic was someone who drank often and in excess, and I didn't realize it could be one or the other. I had a guy I was dating in the who had been in the program many years ago said, you know, an alcoholic can drink twice a year. And this was like way before I came to AA, and I was like, what are you talking about? You know, like those AA people, they just think everybody's an alcoholic, you know. And I didn't get that, you know. And so, anyways, you know, the point being, I thought that I was different. And today I just believe that I'm not different, that this disease takes many forms. And someone told me when I first came in, instead of focusing on the details of someone's story that might be different from mine, I was hearing, you know, when I was in rehab, I heard people talking about going to jail and all. And they said, listen to the feelings that they had around that first drink, or, you know, the how they felt after they drank, the guilt and all that. You know, normal drinkers don't have that. They don't have guilt. They don't question, oh, I have a problem drinking, you know, which I did. I knew I had a problem, but I remember I was the only person in rehab that the rehab counselor had been doing his job for like 36 years, and he said I was the second person he had seen in 36 years that didn't say they were an alcoholic the whole time they were there, you know. And so I wound up in rehab because I guess it was a red flag or something when I said to my therapist that I wanted Anabuse to when I was going on vacation. And she's like, oh, well, you sound like a good candidate for our chemical dependency program. Let's do an intake. And I was like, oh, no. And you know, I'm glad I went to that outpatient program. The most powerful thing I heard in there, like I said, the guy had been doing that job for 36 years, the counselor, and the most powerful thing I heard him say was he had seen a lot of people relapse and come back through rehab, but he had never seen one person relapse that had done the things he suggested, which were the five parts of the program: service, spirituality, steps, sponsorship, and meetings. And when I heard that, you know, I wasn't like, oh, okay, you know, I didn't want to do it. But I remember thinking, that's really good information for me to have if I ever decide I want to do this. And I never forgot that. So I came and I listened for a while, and I didn't jump right into the steps or anything. After rehab, I'd come to speaker meetings and listen. And I just remember having the thoughts of like, oh, I can't drink anymore. And a girl said to me once, no, you can. You're a grown woman. You can do whatever you want. And, you know, for some people that might not be very powerful, or, you know, but it really resonated. It was like very empowering. She's like, you're choosing to be here. You know, and when I think of my aunt today who's going to jail after her fifth DUI, and she, you know, she was given a court card to come to AA, and even in that circumstance, she still had a choice. She chose not to go to AA, and she didn't turn her court card in. So I believe that we always do have a choice. And And I heard people say that a lot of people came in, or maybe not a lot, but I heard people say that they were afraid they were going to die. You know, their liver was failing when they were here, first came in. They're turning yellow, and they were here because, you know, they were afraid they were going to die. And I'm one of those weird people that I'm actually not I've never really been afraid of dying. My biggest fear has always been living and being in a state of loneliness and being really sad. You know, when I got here, I'd much rather not be here and be dead than be living like that. And I thought that if I put down that drink, that's what it was going to be like, because, you know, I didn't really drink or use regularly until college. And in my teen years, I had the experience of being dry. I only drank a couple times in high school. And I was suicidal. I was lonely. And so I didn't, you know, it didn't click when I first came in, like, oh, when I put down the drink, I'm just going to feel great. No, I've done that before, and I didn't feel like that. But what I didn't understand was, by working the 12 steps, I was going to get an emotional healing that, you know, I had been unknowingly trying to numb, you know, emotional neglect from childhood and all these things through drinking and using. And I didn't realize by working the steps, I was going to get all these wonderful life tools that I could learn to deal with uncomfortable feelings in a healthy way. You know, I was just taught, you know, if I was upset, I was told, don't get mad. Well, when you tell that enough times to a child, you're going to stuff it, you're going to get depressed, you know. And today I don't have to apologize when I cry anymore. I don't have to suppress my anger and my other feelings as much. You know, something I'm working on now that's, I can't believe how well it's working. When I'm feeling angry or something, instead of me immediately jumping and trying to, like, focus on, you know, before it was obviously the drink or the drug I'd used to handle that. When I first got to program, I was like, okay, I have all these great tools. What am I going to do? I'm going to call this person. I'm going to go to a meeting. And I think those are great things, and I still do those things. But what I'm doing right now that's working great is I just stop for a few minutes and actually let myself feel the feeling. You know, and it might go 15 minutes, it might be 5 minutes. One morning it was a half hour. But when I do that, I'm much less likely to cross addict or blow up at, you know, behind the wheel in traffic or come out in some other way, you know. And so I think that it's much healthier for me to realize that all my feelings are okay. And if I just say to myself when I'm angry, I feel really angry right now. Just by saying that to myself, I automatically have this sense of, it's not a 180 instantly, but I already feel better by just acknowledging it, you know? And so that's something that I'm working on that I was definitely, you know, not taught before I came here, feel feelings, you know? And something I'm really glad that my sponsor had me do after I worked the steps was she had me work the traditions, not just read over them or, you know, kind of study them, actually work them. And that's something that I'm so grateful she had me do. And I found it much more motivating to do that when she said, these are something that we can apply. These are things we can apply to all our relationships. And in doing that, my relationships have gotten a lot healthier. Because I don't know about you, but just because I put down the drink, all my relationships aren't, you know, hunky-dory. You know, I'm still trying to control and all that. And so, the most respectful meetings that I have felt the most comfortable in, business meetings and otherwise, are the meetings that people have a deep understanding of the traditions and they uphold them. And when there's an issue at a business meeting that might be ongoing, rather than someone coming from a place of, you know, control or whatever, anger, it's, hey, why don't we take a break from this, look at the traditions and see which tradition applies to this. You know, let the program lead us instead of instead of one person. And I'll just close with this. You know, when I first got here, I remember doing some reading about alcoholism, and I read that there's a very, very small percentage of alcoholics and addicts that can stay sober on their own. And my attitude back then, you know, I don't know, it's like 2-3% or something. And my attitude back then was, oh, okay, I'm going to be that 2%. You know, I looked at it like, oh, I can do it. There is a possibility. You know, that's how it was just, I was raised like, okay, weak people ask for help. You know, I had no idea that that's actually a strength and how much courage it takes to come in these rooms and ask for help. And so I, what was I going to say? And today, you know, I wanted anything, more than anything at that time, I wanted to just be able to do it on my own. And I didn't tell anyone I was in rehab, best friend, father, nobody knew. That's how ashamed I was. And today, I am so grateful that I could not quit on my own, because the peace of mind, the self-esteem I have today, the happiness and the serenity, it's only because of working these steps and getting a sponsor and doing all this work that I have that. I see my dad, he's a dry drunk since I was 15, and he's very moody and temperamental, and, you know, and I'm so grateful that I have this. So thank you very much.